You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. Justin and John here, trade day as well, or trade deadline day. There was a time when we used to do live shows on this day, and then there was a very long time where nothing ever happened, so it was so lame to do a show to talk about nothing. Right, Seinfeld? Anyway, all I'm getting at is at least something happened today. You may not be super pumped about what happened, and we're going to get into it now, but at least something happened. Is it enough to get the Celtics over the hump? I don't think so. East is strong, John. East is strong, and I was kind of getting excited for Aaron Gordon. Didn't happen. I do like – let me say this. I had kind of, like, watched Mo Wagner – in the several games that we played, and I was like, he's kind of, you know, he's pretty good, you know, and so I'm not bummed out about that, especially knowing that Tice was headed to unrestricted free agency in the off season. I do have to take my hat off to the man, though. He deserves lots of props.
Yeah.
But I also really like Evan Fournier, and the only downside to that is that traded player exception is largely used up, and so if he walks when his contract is up at the end of the year, you really didn't get a whole lot for it. Trying to save a season that, honestly, this isn't enough to save, so why use something like that? I know we're going to be looking at buyouts pretty soon, and I'll let you take it from there, buddy.
Thanks, I think. Yeah, you know, I mean, just to – okay, let's kind of compartmentalize this a bit, right? In a vacuum, and looking at the basketball side of it, I like the addition of Evan Fournier. I like him. I like the fact that he's a shooter. I like the fact that he's got playmaking ability. I like the fact that he's a three-level scorer. I think that he can take a lot of heat off of Jason and Jalen. I think that the burden that those guys were carrying over the last 3 months was really impacting so much of what they do in other areas. Defense, frankly, eventually they're scoring. They're moving off the ball.
Yeah,
they're passing.
Jason just looks sluggish.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and there are times when they look good, and there's times when they kind of just fall apart, you know, and so, or they just don't have it. So I like, on the basketball side, just on the basketball side, I like that. I don't like the fact that they walked out of the trade deadline without that kind of swing, small forward, power forward. You want to say you're going to move Jason and Jalen up to those positions? Okay, I'm listening, but I wanted to have somebody who's going to take that beating so that there's more energy left for Jalen and Jason. Now, if you want to say, well, there's more offense, you know, more offensive burden that they don't have to carry, you know, they're probably better defenders than anybody they would acquire. Aaron Gordon included. But I think that just in terms of the basketball side of it, you know, it was good. It could have been better. The problem I have with what happened today, and I should say, the cost to get, at least in terms of picks, the cost wasn't that bad, right? You know, two number twos for a guy who's starter quality ish, you know, a fifth man, you know,
and a player that just wasn't fitting in, and it opens up more minutes for Pritchard and Smart. There's going to be a crunch on that anyway.
That's okay, right? I mean, you know, you're taking Teague out. The lineup makes a little bit more sense tonight than it did, you know, this morning. So that's good. The problem to me is you really didn't solve the problems that the team has. And as you said, the big thing about going into this trade deadline, I thought, was you need to get somebody who's going to be here a bit, who's going to be a core piece. I'm not saying that they're going to be a third star, you know, and we're saying, you know, Kemba's kind of falling off and you're going to get that third guy and you can trade off Kemba and now this is the third star. I thought that was probably not really realistic. I thought they needed to get somebody kind of in the Fournier world, but the biggest issue is it's the contract. The contract. And I just have very little confidence right now in the Celtics in being able to read the market and being able to understand what a guy's going to get on the market and to be able to plan for it. I mean, I'm just, you know, I don't, and maybe I'm taking what I saw last, but I'm going with Hayward. I'm looking at Horford. I'm looking at, you could say, you know, Kyrie. Those were instances where the Celtics misread the market, less so Kyrie, and it ended up biting them in the ass big time. Big time. You know, Smart, that one worked out. So maybe they're better at the mid-level, so this will work out for Fournier. But I'm concerned that they use the TPE for somebody who's going to expire in 3 months. And it's only two picks to do it, but it's really four picks and four number twos.
It's really the traded player exception. That's all it comes down to. Could they have used it more? I mean, would you rather have Miles Turner? Would you rather have Gordon Hayward? Maybe not Gordon Hayward. You know, maybe yes, maybe no, just because of the fit question marks like we've had the whole time. But you definitely would rather have Miles Turner, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know if that was how real that ever was. I keep, you know,
so you're debating it, whether that's real. I see.
Okay. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm just not sure. You know, we all assume it, and I've yet to hear from Indiana or, you know, everyone's saying, well, this was going to happen. So, the Indiana thing I'm a little bit more reticent about. I think there's a real good question, though, about the Hayward signing, right? So, if you're going to be in this spot with Kemba, and maybe, you know, in November, you don't know what Kemba's going to be, you know, that he's going to look like this in March. Okay. But if you're going to have to make some decisions here and you're going to be in that spot in the summer of whatever we are, 2021, you know, you just pay the man and say, look, buy Kemba. I mean, that's really where we're at right now. The Kemba signing is the one that's really mucking up the works. You know, if Kemba is great, how good is this team? Is Kemba's fit good enough for this team long run? You know, those are all questions I think you and I are going to be talking about here for the next couple months about what to do and where to go. But perhaps the best fit was to say, no, we keep the third swing man and we go with it. I think in the end they could find somebody, and I think they found somebody who was good. But my thought was it was going to be like an Aaron Gordon or like a Harrison Barnes. I thought that's the deal that you could have made, and, you know, maybe I misread the market, but it just seems like that's the concern, is that they never filled. I didn't need, you know, Gordon Hayward. I needed somebody a step down from that, and I think the team could have succeeded quite well with it. But the problem is I think they went two steps down, And it's in a short-term deal, a really short-term deal.
Yeah, they're going to have to make a play to re-sign him, or there's just going to be more question marks about what they did there, you know. Like, why bother? That's the question is, why bother? So unless you're keeping him long-term, why bother making the move? That's really what it all boils down to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why did you even do it if you're not keeping them? And you know what? Like, they could turn it around and go on fire, but that's why I tweeted what I tweeted today about Kemba. You know, it does seem to be he's just not hitting his clutch shots. He's still able to put up some points, but he's not hitting the clutch ones. He's a liability on D. And it's the fourth quarter stuff. He can't carry it. You know, he can't carry it the way that Isaiah Thomas did. I mean, even Kyrie, as much as it was flawed, him hogging it the way he was and never. But we have the same offense right now. Stagnant, no ball movement. Kemba, high pick and roll, get to the side. Jason Tatum, high pick and roll, get to the side. I get so excited when Jaylen tries to dribble into the paint and loses the handle because I'm like, well, at least somebody tried.
Ah! So true. So true. And
it's just weird, dude. The whole thing is, I honestly am falling asleep watching the games, and it's happened to me before, but it always happens when they don't move the ball. It's freaking boring. And then for them to go into overtime the other night in a late game, I didn't even make it, dude. I went to bed, like, it felt like it was slipping away, but it just didn't matter. Doesn't matter because they're a mediocre club right now. And I see all the other sulky ones out there that are like me right now in this moment, sulking about the way the team's playing. But there's still a ton of potential. I'm willing to fall asleep in the fourth quarter for the rest of this season and just kind of keep an eye on what's going on. If I know, well, even doesn't really matter. I'm going to do it anyway. But it would be a lot easier to sleep at night during the fourth quarter if there was some hope in the offseason a little bit to balance it, or they made a bigger splash now so that we knew that, oh, this is it. This is getting us over the hump. They're going to make a run. They're still a dark horse candidate, but they got a shot. But I just, again, don't see it. And if you don't see it, why did you use the TPE? And I really thought they would trade Kemba, to be honest with you. I really did. I thought it's so obvious. It's disjointed. Not because he's a bad dude, though. I still love Kemba. Mm-hmm. Not trying to kick him out of town. It just doesn't seem like it's working. And Marcus Smart, in my opinion, that's the guy I want the ball in. I mean, look at it. They're already doing it. He's already bringing the ball up, and they're doing that Isaiah Thomas thing with Kemba Walker where he's totally off the ball all the time. That's a kiss of death for an undersized point guard on a Boston Celtics team right there.
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
You're dead.
Well, okay. So, I mean, I think that you're right about the Smart piece. You know, I think that for Marcus Smart to maximize his value as a player, he needs to be the team's point guard. For Marcus Smart to be... you know, he needs to show a lot of growth in that area, though. I mean, shot selection. He's the best passer on the team. And he's the most willing to understand the need to do other things, but he has to find a way to figure out the shot selection issue. If he ever could, he's the ideal guard next to Tatum and Brown, you know? And that's why I was really not so excited about moving on from him. And it's, you know, I guess having to deal with the Kemba issue in the summer, because you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to choose at the very least, if not deal with both. So why not, you know,
alleviate the issue?
Yeah. Yeah. But I understand that it takes a lot of draft picks to get rid of Kemba at this point. He doesn't look good. I mean, the best thing for the Boston Celtics now is that he goes off and, you know, he's a positive asset again. You know, that's the best the Celtics can hope for over the next 3 months. And it's probably not likely. But and like you, I should say, I'm not like, get him out of here. I think he's a great dude. I think he's a hell of a player. I think that, you know,
there's still a chance he'll rebound.
Absolutely. But he has to change how he wants to play, how he plays. Yeah. Like that's the thing to me is like he has to be a different guy on offense. Defensively, I think he's going to be who he's going to be. I think he does what he can. But offensively, he's got to change. He's got to be much more about facilitation, much more about trying to get guys in their spots and trying to, you know, move off the ball. And I mean, he's got to be much more of that type of player than he has been. And that's, you know, old dogs, new tricks type deal. But if he figures it out, that's great. He still is making too much money. So even if he does figure it out, I'm not sure there's a spot for him here long term. And
that's the sad thing. I miss Terry. Ugh.
But, you know, that's another situation. The Celtics perhaps reading the market wrong. $19 million a year, right? We're all laughing about it. I mean, I'm sure yeah. I've got tweets up the wazoo saying, oh, geez, what a $19 million. You know, I don't know if I would have given him 12. And he's making us all look stupid. Making, you know, Hayward, making 30. Now, again, those guys wouldn't have had those opportunities here that they have in Charlotte. But, I agree with you. I mean, Terry Rozier would be a great fit right here, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing about Terry at that, like, we wouldn't have had Kemba, right? It was all how that played out.
Right. That's exactly right.
Just look at what he's doing right now. He would have slotted right in. They all earned it that postseason. They all came fighting, like scratching, clawing without friggin' idiot man.
We also don't know if he would have come back. Like, he was the one most wanting to get the hell out of Boston, talking openly, you know, going on First Take. I'm out of here. You know, it's messed up. It's screwed up. It's, you know, now. What we don't know, what you and I don't know, is how much of that was salvageable. If he returns, then does Horford return? Now that's another interesting.
You gotta think it's you gotta think it's salvageable if they say Terry, you're our starting point guard, and we're getting rid of this cancer. You gotta think.
I mean, I don't know. I think it deserves. That is the nexus point out of everything. I mean, there's two of them. There's Hayward breaking his leg, and then there's after the 19 playoffs when everything falls apart.
You didn't have either of the big stars and this group of young guys who are pulling together, you know, totally Brad's wheelhouse, got all cranked around. And I got to think some of these young guys, you know, that hits them hard. You know, they haven't seen all the – you hear about it all the time. You know, even Isaiah Thomas didn't really there were definitely hard feelings, but he also said, it's a business. I get it. It's a business. It's what it is. If you want to be in the NBA. But younger guys who haven't gone through it, haven't watched the rosters turn over and gotten traded 1,000 different places and everything else, it's got to have an impact on them. It just does.
Yeah, it does. I just, you know, you get to the end of that season where the keys were kind of taken from the kids in 18. After 18, it's given back to Kyrie and a Gordon who wasn't really himself yet. And it was a problem. Now, that's part of the frustration to me of today is I look at that season. And I don't know if there was a way to salvage that. I don't know if they could have looked to Kyrie and said, look, are you coming back or not? And if he says, I'm not, he doesn't really commit to it. And you already know things were going the way they were going with Davis, that you just say, all right, let's get him out of here and try to get what we can out of that. I mean, that's part of this issue is they got nothing for Kyrie. They got nothing for Hayward. They got nothing for Horford. And they all walked. And yes, the cap space turned into Kyrie, into Kemba through a sign and trade that got rid of Rozier. But you really got four guys that walked out and really nobody came back. Now, you still would have a cap problem. That, you know, if you take Kemba out and you put in his place, you put $19 million for Terry Rozier, you're still $16 million under. And yeah, that coincidentally is about what you need to sign Evan Fournier. But, you know, there still would be an issue here in terms of cap. Eventually, that was going to be an issue. But how would you feel right now if Rozier and Jalen and Jason and Marcus were your foursome? You'd probably feel a whole lot better about it, right? And you still would have Time Lord. You'd still have Romeo and you know, whatever your bench is right now. Oh, Justin, I can't hear you, man.
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
I said I'd feel pretty good about it, and I said it three times. So third time's a charm.
Well, there you go. Now we really know you.
Yeah, dude, I'd feel really good about it. Yeah. I definitely didn't like watching Terry go. I just didn't. But yeah. I don't know that I complained about it much on this show. And a lot of it had to do with Kemba. You know, I love Kemba. I do. Like, I'm not really going to knock him. I just, you know, it just might be a little washed up, dude. And it's just so too bad. But that's the reason. How long have I been saying, go with the youth, go with the youth? I'd rather just watch the youth develop. You know, the youth doesn't get bum knees. Well, they do, but... And Gordon with the ankle, he was pretty young when the ankle happened. But I kind of feel like this team has been jinxed ever since Isaiah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, yeah. I mean, that's hard to argue.
It's just been a weird mojo around it.
Yeah. But, you know, what does that mean? I mean, yes.
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
It's not objective.
Yes. It doesn't feel good.
It just doesn't feel good. Yeah.
Right. I mean, after Isaiah's hip, you still are picking Jason Tatum, trading number one, number three, and getting Jason Tatum and a future one. So, which eventually became Romeo Langford. So, it's not, you know, it's not over. In terms of
the one good thing that happened. You've been talking about this the whole time. Let's invest in the young guys.
Yeah.
You know, let's do it. And so I agree. Let's do it. I've been saying it forever, ever, but you've been saying it this season. Why won't he play the young guys?
Yeah. Right. I've changed my Twitter handle to play the kids, Brad. You know, it's just the problem is that this was a Doc and Danny thing. We had Bullpat on, and Bullpat talked about how Danny really wanted Doc to play Tony Allen, and he wouldn't play Tony Allen. And it was kind of an issue, but it wasn't an issue. And I feel like that's kind of – some of these moves today, clearing out some of those guys, you know, the Teagues and the – you know, that to me is you got to play – you got to play Peyton Pritchard. You got to play Romeo Langford. You got to play Neesmith. Yeah. Right. I mean, Danny is like, I'm taking away the binky. You got to play these guys. And I think that's an issue. I think it's been an issue all along. And I think part of the reason we're in this spot today in not being able to make a move for Aaron Gordon is that let's assume all that stuff went the way it did. There's still a way to salvage it. But we had, what, three picks 2 years ago. We had three picks last year, right? And how many rotation players do we have out of that right now? Zero, right?
It takes time for them to be rotation players too.
Sure,
but
especially for Brad.
Yeah,
that's kind of my point. You know, Desmond Bane out there killing it. Sadiq Bey killing it, playing for teams that are arguably worse than the Celtics, but those guys are getting opportunity. They're working through their mistakes. This is year three of Time Lord, and he's just finally getting a spot in the rotation.
Well, and if the team was playing really well, then you could justify it. It's when they're not playing well, then it's then like, why can't you live through the mistakes with the guys that you're trying to develop that are talented, and instead you're choosing to live through the mistakes of the veterans who are supposed to come in here and be consistent and put the, you know, So let me ask you a couple of questions then, okay? So, like, Teague was easy to let go. He did us a little bit of a favor by lighting it up, you know, on his way out. He had some performances. And, you know, part of me wonders, oh, is he finally getting it right, you know? But it still didn't matter. I'd still rather play Peyton Pritchard and give him the minutes anyway and see what we got there. And he's such a good shooter. But then – but here's my question. Tristan Thompson stayed – and I've seen a super mixed bag with him on Twitter. And then, of course, the whole drama about him, you know, causing locker room problems. But I don't, you know, I'm not even talking about that. I'm literally just saying he provides, like, rebounding, et cetera. There's things that he can do and matchups that he can take that nobody else on the team, you know, is suited to take. And probably including Mo Wagner, but I haven't. We'll have to watch him play with us. I've seen him play against us. I need to watch him with us. But you know, are you kind of like Tristan Thompson doesn't fit, or now that Tice is gone? And
I think it'll be interesting to see. I don't think we've really seen the Tristan Thompson that we signed, to be honest. You know, first of all, he started off slow, right? So before everyone had COVID problems and, you know, all the nonsense, you know, we're playing double bigs and he's out of shape.
Which is so ugly. I mean,
right.
I still don't understand why we didn't. I mean, we did go small, but it was just so ugly because we're so super small.
Right.
Fournier does help with that.
Totally. I mean, Jared Weiss wrote up a real nice thing today. Jared's been killing it, by the way. Great job, Jared Weiss. They, you know, they can play their best five lineup again. You know, you can play Fournier and you can put Smart as your five. And, you know, you could do that if you wanted to. But where was I going with that? Shoot. Anyway. Oh,
Tristan Thompson, the player we signed.
Tristan, I think, yeah. I mean, basically you've taken away double bigs from Brad, but what you've also done in that process, I think, is you've created the spacing offensively that we just have lacked on so many different occasions. And I also think that makes Tristan Thompson look better, because I think that having, even though Tice was the spacer of the two, they're not going to give him as much room as he could. So I think that there is more that we can see out of Tristan Thompson. The problem I have with that move is that, you know, yes, you get some cost certainty next year, and maybe you can't count on the fact that Tice would get less than what Thompson was getting. But there's some issues right now that I've seen online about, are the Celtics actually under the tax or not, or are they far enough under the tax to be able to sign somebody for that 15th spot or not? So Danger Card and Keith Smith are kind of like, I'm not so sure. But Jared's reporting is like, yeah, they're going to pursue somebody, which would take them over the tax, according to Keith and you know, Ryan Bernardoni. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. But I can't imagine they're going to open a 14th slot and then, oh, we're not going to sign someone for it. There's clearly a need there to sign people, whether you want to say it's, you know, Aldridge, you say it's Drummond, or, you know, my hope, which is Otto Porter. There's options.
Yeah, I saw that. Otto Porter would... I'd say they could get two. I mean, how much would it cost them to cut Luke Kornet? Probably nothing.
Right. Well, that's what I don't know. Like, there's Kornet, and then there's Mo Wagner, and how.
Now, I think Mo Wagner stays. I think he fits. I think that, you know, he's a younger guy. Too. He's a hustle guy. He definitely provided Washington with a lot of energy. And knowing you're going to lose Tice, you know, they probably almost look at that like, it's a wash. It's not a wash because Tice's experience in the system, but Wagner's probably less likely to foul out. He's a little bit stronger, and I think he's a little bit – it's quite a bit taller, isn't he? How tall is Wagner?
Yeah, no, I think 6'10"? He's 6'9". He's like 6'9", I think. I think he's about the same size, roughly. But, you know, I mean, look, he's not as good as Daniel
6'11".
Is he?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, I knew he was bigger.
I don't think he's that much bigger. But I don't think he's that.
You want to know why you don't think he's bigger?
Why?
Because when you look at him, you see Jarebko.
No, I don't think so. I don't see Jarebko.
You don't see a little bit of that German kind of... he was Swedish.
Yeah. Swedish Larry Bird, man.
Yeah, Swedish Larry Bird. German. No, wait. He was Swedish.
I mean, the thing with Wagner... Look, I think what I like about Wagner is I think he plays a little bit like an asshole. And I think this team needs some of that. They need some attitude. I mean, I really think that they need somebody who's going to mix it up and... You know, not ask for permission. I think they're too nice. I think this team is way too nice. I think that they let people walk all over them far too much. And they need an edge. And I think Wagner can be a little bit of that guy to play with an edge. So I'm on board with it. I think it's fine to go get him. I think he was a guy Danny was looking at when he came out in the draft.
Pick 25.
Yeah, they were. I'm trying to remember how that went in that draft. Was it 18?
18, yep.
Yeah. I feel like he was kind of in that mix in 18. I have to go back and look at the draft, but I felt like he was part of that where there was a whole bunch of guys that were kind of in that mix where, they were kind of looking at just to see. I'll have to go pull that up, but I think he was somebody that Danny had been looking at, and I think it's because he's got that kind of attitude to him, you know, and I think that's a big deal. Okay, so yeah, so he was, oh, that's right, yes, okay, this is interesting. So he was picked 25th, and Robert Williams was picked 27th, and he was a guy that was mocked to the Celtics often. My guess is they probably, you know, if he doesn't go to LA at 25, maybe
we're taking him.
What they take? Yeah. So it worked out for the Celtics, you know.
And now they got him both.
Now you got them both, and you got him for, you know, peanuts, really. But Tyson, we missed. I agree. I think that's a loss. But you know, for a team that needed less bigs, and you know, you could throw Grant Williams in that mix, frankly. I think
how does Moe space the floor?
He's a 30% three-point shooter, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to set the world on fire with his three-point shooting. I mean, well, wait, hold on. Career, he's 302. This year, he's 310, or 31%. I mean, he only has 42 attempts this year, so... but he's kind of a rim runner, sort of, although he's not, he can't really jump that well. If he could ever shoot the ball, he'd be an interesting, you know, kind of fit because, you know, he does mix it up. But, you know, look, I think that it's attitude is what they need. They didn't send somebody in there to, you know, make some people pissed off. I think he can do that. And, you know, he's only making $2 million. So, if they can hold on to him, great. If, you know, I think Cornette's gone, and then, you know, what's interesting is
I think you're right. I think Cornette doesn't even, last a week or two.
What do you think about this buyout information, the Drummond interest? Like, apparently that they're really interested in Drummond. What do you think about that? Because that's kind of out of left field to me.
Well, I mean, I think he could definitely come in and provide, you know, a lot of what Tristan Thompson does.
Yeah.
At least for us right now. So that's kind of the question mark for me. But you got to look at him as an upgrade over Thompson, right? Like substantial? Because of the offense?
Offense? Cleveland certainly did, right? That's what happened, right?
Right.
Cleveland got rid of one to get the other, you know, so, or to keep the other. Yeah, I mean, the problem with Drummond is he's never as good as his stats seem to indicate. You know, he's kind of a net negative for what he does. I think he's as a big body to go up against a guy like Joel Embiid. I'm interested by it. I don't know what his stats are against him, but you know,
ooh,
maybe
great
that's
to see those splits. Yeah,
yeah. I haven't pulled that up. Let me see if I can find that. But I just, yeah, I'm just not the Tristan Thompson piece of this, after all, like the stuff that came out about the COVID protocols and all that. That's the thing that kind of like makes me shake my head about it, because to move on from Tice and then, you know, I mean, maybe you could just say the story's nonsense. Maybe that's the deal, right? I don't know. I just think it's kind of a weird situation, because yesterday the deal was so like, it was so, you know.
Did
Thompson
have an option?
What's that?
Does Thompson have an option for next year? Is it player or team?
No, it's
team.
I'm sure there's one. Straight out 2 years. Yeah.
Straight out 2 years. So that's the answer to your question.
Right.
They wanted salary relief, and that's why they wanted Tice.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, it's salary relief. Is it salary relief? Do they know that Tice would cost more next year? Immediately, it's not, you know?
Yeah, but they might want to spend the money in a different way, whatever they have available.
Sure, sure. Okay, so here we go. But against each other, all right, Joel Embiid averages, against Drummond, he averages 27, 10, and 2, 1.5 blocks. Of course, he won 6 games. And Drummond won 1 in the 7 games they played against each other. So, so that's, you know, I wouldn't say that's a really holding him in check. This year they've only played once.
Yeah, no.
Drummond had 27-9, and Embiid had 20-8, and the Sixers won by 16. Only nine shots though in 28 minutes for Joel.
So maybe that's the net positive. Yeah. He's beefy.
And he's athletic and he can run and jump and all that, but you're not going to re-sign him. I mean,
no.
It's entirely
short. But see, I'm cool with that, with the buyout candidates. I'm totally fine with that. The only, I just wonder if there's any long-term value, and that's the real question mark. Otherwise, I would have been fine. Like, if Fournier had 2 or 3 years left on his deal, I wouldn't even be saying anything. I was like, well,
totally, you know, agree.
That next season, the season after, you know, they've got to use this, and this guy doesn't break the bank. Maybe they can re-sign Smart. You know, he's not going to command a max deal.
No, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, that's kind of the way I feel too. Like, you know, you had
Terrence Ross. Let me say this. If they wanted to keep Gordon, it's the end of Smart without some sort of a move with Kemba.
They wanted to keep. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's either or.
So why wouldn't you trade him for Gordon if you were in on Gordon? And I can see why they pulled back on that. I can.
I do too. That's
got to be the gamble. It's got to feel like 48 is going to re-sign with them. And it was worth a shot.
That's my sense too. That they feel like they've got a price tag somewhere in the ballpark that they can afford next year. The question is, how far in the tax does Wick want to go for a team that looks like this? Right? Like that. This is the thing that Danger Cart keeps harping about, and a lot of people are getting frustrated with him because they feel like he's very, you know, negative. And I've kind of argued with him back and forth about it, or talked about it with him. And the issue is, right, like the Celtics have never really been taxpayers other than from 8 to 10. From 2008 to 2010, when they were legitimately entitled
to pay for a champion. They paid. Right. Well, pay for a champion.
We're not anywhere near what that Celtics team was right now. Could they get there? It would seem hard to believe. It seems to me there's a move or two that has to happen before you can get there. But you have, if Kemba is Kemba and Kemba can augment to best build up Jason and Jalen? They could. The potential's there. It just seems like we've done 2 years of this, and it doesn't seem like it's heading in the direction that would lead one to believe that that's what you should do. Right?
Yeah, totally.
It's, but I also,
as an owner, and as an owner of businesses myself, I would not be throwing money into a situation where there's a downward trend. I would throw money at it when there's an upward trend.
Sure.
To really grow, because I've got the right group of people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and so there's the argument that says, well, the Celtics
culture. Let me say this. You throw culture at downward trends.
Yeah.
And you throw money at upward trends.
Yep. That absolutely makes sense. I'm not, like, I don't think the Celtics should have stood pat today. I don't think that you say, we're not going to do anything.
To the team on some level.
Yeah. You gotta do something to be like, look, we believe in you guys. We believe that this group has potential, but it's not the right mix. But at the same point in time, you're not going to go put yourself into the poorhouse to do it. Not that these owners are poor, mind you. But the reality is that's the economics of the NBA. So I understand not going ridiculous to pay a tax and go, you know, farther. But they had to do something today. They had to add to this team and see if there's a way that people finding their own level. Is it likely? No. I think it's less than 20% chance.
But they could have made a move without using the TPE. And so it's all riding on whether or not he resigns. In summary, whether or not he resigns this summer, or it does feel like a wasted use of the TPE. You could have made the Mo Wagner trade and a couple of other small ones to send that message. I'd say it's not a good roster fit, but, you know, we were really invested in you guys, so we just got to try some different pieces, guys. You might have liked Javonte Green a lot. You might have even liked Jeff Teague a lot. You know, the fans, not so much this season.
Not so much, yeah.
But you might have really liked him, but we had to do something because it wasn't working, guys, and we're committed to you. Like, that's an easy message. And so that is a circular conversation at this point when you summarize it, but there's a different angle every time. And the bottom line angle is you did have to send a message, but you didn't have to use the TPE to do it. So there's something about this deal, I think, that the Celtics feel strongly that they can re-sign Fournier, and we'll find out. Just not anytime soon.
Right. The only thing I'd say about not using it, I think that's a good place to stop. The one thing I would say about not using it is that you couldn't have felt better about their potential to use it this summer. Because while it would allow them to use the full amount of it, the number of people who they could use to get it with that.
It does give them a sign-and-trade aspect, especially if he performs well, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the teams that have cap space this summer, I had this list up. I didn't think it was all that
impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you're looking at
value. Must.
What's that?
That makes him valuable.
Yeah. So the Knicks certainly could go into the, you know, into some world where they could pay for him. I mean, there's a handful of teams. Oklahoma City, they're not going to pay. Spurs, maybe. The Raptors, who knows where they're headed. The Hornets, they have big issues. They're looking for bigs. Miami's got his big game hunting. Grizzlies, possible. Mavericks, possible. Who knows what the Bulls are doing. But that's really all you're fighting with. And that's assuming no draft picks. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into it. But this is like 4, 5, 6 teams that you could be competing with. He also seems like the type of guy that seems pretty, you know, he seems like he wants to stay wherever he is. He's pretty shook up about the move, and I don't blame him. But you know, the Celtics, part of the Celtics problem is they haven't distinguished themselves. But then again, from a lot of these teams, having said that,
man, we've been talking about out of both sides of our mouth this whole show. It's classic.
I know. Sucks. Well, it's, you know, if they went and got Aaron Gordon, we wouldn't be talking about our mouths so much. We'd say it's great, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I know.
We would ignore the cap issues. You know, and
said, hey, this is finally moving the right track, and this gives them a shot to be competitive. Yep, right. I get it.
They needed to move people into the spots, closer to the spots where they need to operate as players. Yeah. That had to happen. Like, that going back to the 2019 issue, like, they didn't pull the trigger on deals in 2019, and could that have changed the trajectory of keeping guys or not keeping guys, or finding out if Terry Rozier is a guy you want to invest in long term, or moving out Terry Rozier and getting something for him, or whatever? They didn't do it, and so
that was our biggest complaint. We thought we were going to get nothing for Rozier,
right? Right.
And we did. We just got nothing for Rozier.
We got a sign and trade, but
no, you're not following.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's very dark. That's very sad.
No, it's just being funny.
So, you know, if they have to get rid of Kemba and they have to give up a couple picks to do it, right? So they use their number one this summer. Let's hope it's 16 or higher. And a future one. To dump into one of these teams' cap space, the Knicks are the team that are kind of like, in my mind, like top of the list. Obviously, he's a New York guy and going home, and they don't have any point guards. You know, he's not exactly, he hasn't played for Tibbs, but, you know, that would be the ideal thought, is that if you can send him to New York, that would be, you know, perfect. Unfortunately, New York seems to have gotten a little spell of competency in them. And yeah, so it's a little bit harder.
Julius Randle. That's right.
So
that's a guy I wanted us to trade for. That, I mean, and way like back when he was just recovering from the injury, I always had a little affinity for him. And who did he come after? Who did we draft ahead of Randle? Was it Brown?
No, Smart.
It was Smart.
They're all,
because I liked Exum, Randall. Yep.
Gordon, Smart, Randall.
The Brown, yeah.
Exum got dealt today, too, oddly enough. But
how old is Randall then, though?
Same age as Marcus, right? So 26, 25, 26?
They're the same age? Yeah.
Randall, actually, no. Randall might be a year younger because Smart was a sophomore that year.
Yep. Let's look at it, then we'll wrap it.
Yeah, it's just, you know,
it's 26.
There you go. Yeah, just turned 26.
Yeah, seventh pick.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is fit around the guys is important, right? And could he play next to Jalen and Jason as the four? He's not a five.
Because he's so too short. Yep.
You know, I think that let's wrap on this kind of topic about, like, well, what do we do from here, right? What we've seen so far is that Jalen and Jason, they can't do it alone. I think we've seen across the league that the guys in their situations where I think you look at the Clippers right now, right? The Clippers kind of had a similar situation as what happened to the Celtics. They lost Montrez, and their team has kind of, I don't say cratered, but they made some moves that didn't necessarily work out, kind of like the Celtics did. They had do-it-all wings who could score and defend.
Yep, just older. Yep.
And they're better.
Yeah.
And they've struggled. I mean, as a team, they've struggled. And, you know, you could say it's COVID and the protocols and the back-to-backs. And so these guys can't do everything or whatever. But, you know, in that situation, you know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe you point to them as the kind of West Coast older version of this and say,
here's where you go from here. Not just us. Yeah, no, here's where you go from here. You know, you're going to pick up some people in the buyout market. You're going to see what happens the rest of the year. You're going to try to make some moves in the offseason the best you can. But for the most part, you're just going to ride this puppy out. You know, you're going to ride it out. And I don't know that there's a whole lot. Like, they're not going to blow it up. And there's just not a whole lot they have to trade. And they're not going to have a lot of cap space.
What does blow it up mean to you? What do you mean when you say blow it up?
Blow it up means you trade Smart, Brown, or Tatum.
Yeah.
Blowing it up does not mean that you trade Kemba. I think it's just, it's kind of blowing it up if you give up a whole bunch of picks or assets just to get somebody to take him and you can't sign anybody else. You're better off just being like Kemba. You don't fit. You're coming off the bench. So sorry, dude. Sucks for you. But he won't be a badass about it. He's not going to be the bad apple about it. If they go to him, that was one of the Twitter questions today was, you know, what do you do in this lineup? You know, can you really play him down the stretch? And the answer is an easy one. Not like he's been playing. So if he can't hit shots down the stretch, significantly reduces whatever value he has to bring to the club. He's got to be a go-to guy scoring the ball in the fourth quarter, period, the end.
I'm less concerned about his ability, you know, his shot making if he was focused on facilitation of the offense.
Right.
You know, like that's the thing to me is like, can you even afford to have him out there? Right. I mean, can you, it's one thing to like have him transition into like a Lou Williams or a Jamal Crawford type role. You know, that's one thing. The other part of it is that I don't know that he's, you know, if you do need him out there with those guys, does it work? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not sure it works right now. It worked last year, but that was ships kind of going in opposite directions, perhaps. You know, that's what I worry about is can they build an offense with those three guys together somewhat going in the same direction? You know?
He almost got to come off the bench.
I'm okay with that. I just wonder how hard you have to work, how much you have to give up to get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, to get off the money, to get some, you know, Frank Ntilikina and, you know, I mean, what are you going to get from the Knicks that you send $36 million their way? You're not getting quickly, right? You're going to get, you know, Flotsam and Jetsam back. You're not getting D-Rose. You know, there's no way that Tibbs is going to give D-Rose. So, I mean, you're going to get Flotsam and Jetsam, and it's probably bad contracts on their part. And you're going to have to probably just...
You're better off riding it out. That's what I'm telling you. We're just going to ride it out.
I'm just not sure if you can afford it. That's the problem to me.
You don't have a choice. You're going to have to ride it out, and he's going to have to come off the bench.
That may be worse, though, than spending the picks, potentially. It could be. I hope not. I'd rather not. I'd rather see it work, but I just... That's my fear, is that it's just... That's the issue.
Getting rid of salary you can't spend is like getting a traded player exception and using it on Evan Fournier and not re-signing him.
Or trading away a salary and attaching a pick to it to get rid of Enes Kanter, or, you know, Aaron Baines and sending away, you know, instead of having whoever on your roster. Again, I think that stuff's overplayed, but it's how much cost is there really in it for you? And at this point, the Celtics can't afford to give up players, but, you know. I guess what I'm saying is there's a cost to not do anything and to not give as much as you can to what you have on the floor. And that's why you did the TPE deal. And you got to hope that cashes in for you. But next year, how much do you have to give up to maybe reset that balance. I mean, like you said, yeah, you don't want to do a lot, but
no,
I'm just worried that Kemba will be too far from what to be playing
Look, with one full off season, everything's kind of feeling normal again. They work out. There's a good chance that Kemba comes back and is tradable next year. There really is. And there's a chance that the reason that they look like they suck ass right now is because they're tired, right? Just like we all are. We're tired of watching it, but they're tired. And they just can't muster that energy up. And maybe when the games are on the line, like it has seemed like for a while now, back to December, when they were battling through the injuries, right? And just waiting for Kemba to come back. It has seemed like the whole season that they're only giving enough to stay in the playoff hunt. They got nothing else in the tank to give night in and night out. And they've got in their minds, they've got nothing left to prove, right? They made the All-Star team. They did it. Like, there's just no other carrot. And they had a short off season. They've been struggling with injuries forever. You know, they probably figure, like, screw it, man. At this point, with all the injuries, we're not going to be at the top. We're not going to be a top seed. So we're not going to get home court. Top three teams are pretty strong. Who gives a crap? We're not falling to eight. We're going to play one of those three no matter how it shakes out anyway. Like, let's just coast a little bit and save it. And that definitely, we're going to end on this because I'm falling asleep in the middle of my own show. That could definitely be a thing. That could be a thing in that locker room.
Yeah. It could.
You could see how somebody could get there pretty easily.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I think you're right. To me, it's probably the most likely outcome, you know.
And it's why Sacramento didn't want to trade, because they're staying in the hunt and they're hoping that they can just give that extra when they get to the postseason. Our team is more likely than theirs. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't even with Sacramento. I can't.
We got to table it for next week.
Yeah,
that's another 30 minutes.
Here's just one. Yes, I just want to say that in terms of the buyout stuff, we didn't talk about this, but the Otto Porter thing, I really think we got to keep an eye on that, because if those who saw the tweet, I mean, basically his agent is David Falk. David Falk.
Yeah, I saw that.
Celtics, former Celtics.
And you know, buyouts.
Right. Evan Turner, and Greg Monroe, really the last kind of big buyout guy the Celtics got a few years back. So, you know, right now he's saying, I don't want to go anywhere. Why would he want to play in Orlando? That doesn't make any sense at all. You know, frankly, they got to want to get rid of him. I think it's a leverage thing that they're all kind of working out. And I fully believe he's going to get bought out. And then the Celtics will, you know, he's the guy I'd rather have than Drummond, honestly. Because I think
I get it. With all the bigs, it just doesn't make any more sense to add bigs. It makes more sense to get more wings, take the load off, have more flexible lineups, switchability on defense, the whole thing. You know, you're kind of like mimicking what we would have had if Gordon Hayward had stayed healthy and it fit right, but now you have so many different pieces you can fool around with. So, yeah, I get it. And I love, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, now that they have Fournier, what some of those lineups can look like with Thompson at center instead of them being so disjointed and having, you know, because most of the time he's been playing alongside Tice as a pseudo wing and he's not a wing. And that's going to do it for this week's episode of Celtic Stuff Live. I'm Justin Poulin. He's John Duke. That was the trade deadline, and it's a wrap.